In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. As you know, we are coming closer and closer to the month, the last month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which some of you folks have already been there to Mecca and Medina, and some of you are getting prepared to go to this spiritual trip. And I hope that you will reap the fruits of this spiritual trip in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And some of you are already there in Mecca and Medina. And please pray for all of us, inshallah. The topic of today, dear brothers and sisters, is the Islamic view on media and television and the net. As we said before, that we are going to talk about this in three episodes. And this is part two of this topic. In the studio, we have Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, an Islamic lecturer from the Islamic seminaries of Qom. And from London, we have Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, an Islamic researcher over there. And I will also like to say my salams to my co-host, Ms. Sadiqi. Ms. Sadiqi, salamun alaikum.
Salam to you, brother. And a warm salam and welcome to you, dear viewers of Open Talk. And your host, Elah Sadarian, with you in this illuminating program. Do have a part in the show and help us with the ideas worth spreading. Just a short break and we'll be back in no time. Thank you for watching, dear viewers, and we are with you, and of course, I'll be with you with more during the program. Don't forget to contact us with a number of ways you have to get in touch, and like our Facebook page, Twitter, and YouTube, of course, our videos on YouTube, and don't forget to Skype us. Our phone numbers and email address are going to be on the screen during the program. My colleague, the rest of our discussion, please.
Thank you, Ms. Sadiqi. Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, assalamu alaikum, and welcome once again to our studio in Open Talk, and thanks for coming over.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Assalamu alaikum to you and to all brothers and sisters all around the world watching this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us to be among the real followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam.
Ilayham. Now let's start with what we ended in the last program, Sheikh. Films or movies or cinema, mm-hmm. Which may be not permissible for some people, or there may be a general verdict that it is not permissible if it has this and this and that condition that we mentioned in the last program. But what if the person is mentally mature and he can himself know what is haram and what is not haram? Could we have a verdict that could go after individuals?
First of all, I have to mention that we were talking about entertainments in Islam, and our subtitling, the subject that we were talking under this title was media. According to jurisprudence, you know, there are some factors we mentioned that if these factors are not in a movie, like porno scenes and things like this, so it's okay to watch it, or how music is not there. Beside all these, sometimes there might be some features in a movie that it can't be a kind of deviating for people, ordinary people. So from that aspect, it might not be permissible for ordinary people to watch it.
But depending on the mental maturity of one person, could we have an exception?
Yeah, of course, yes. Even, you know, for example, when we have this verdict about the books, Yes. About books that they have some
can mislead people.
Yeah, they can deviate and mislead mm-hmm. people. Even though it is not permissible to all people to read it, at yes. the same time it is obligatory for some people
to read it.
Yeah, to read it, to know what
analyze
is in the
it.
Book, analyze it, and to in fact prepare themselves to defend the society mm. against the possible threats coming from
I
them.
See.
The same thing is with the movies. So there might mm. be movies that if you in fact broadcast it for ordinary people, there might be some problems coming
yes.
from it for ordinary people. They don't have the enough intellect or I don't know knowledge to
yes.
analyze it in
yes.
a proper way. But at the same time, it is obligatory for others to watch it.
So something that would be haram for the general public could be halal and obligatory for some experts in that field.
So,
all right, thank you very much. What about theater and its positive and negative aspects? I'm thinking about something we called here especially in the Iranian culture, ta'ziyah. Ta'ziyah is a kind of theater that we have for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where we show different figures who play different roles in the tragedy of Karbala. What about theaters and its positive and negative aspects?
In fact, this is one of the ways that during the history, Shia kept the history of the story of Karbala alive. And you know, all people are not people are reading books mm-hmm. Or listening to lectures. There are people who are not, you know, likely or interested to come and listen to lectures, but at the same time, people generally they like watching and hearing stories or watching them. So this ta'ziyah and this theater, it was one of the ways to, in fact, help people remind them and remember the story of Karbala and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
So
we had it in different Muslim countries. And it had been of a great importance during the history. But something which is very important here is that they must be careful not to practice and perform this ta'ziyah in a way that there might be somehow against the dignity of mm-hmm. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. To respect the dignity of them and to deliver the message in a right way. So this mm-hmm. is a very positive and good way. And nowadays, instead of the ta'ziyah, we have movies.
Yes.
We have some movies mm-hmm. made about the story of Karbala or about other great figures of
yes.
Shia and also Islam.
Yes.
So this is the, you can say, the modern theater that we have.
Yes.
And it is very positive and effective.
Mm. Yeah, thank you very much. I think we have Sheikh Musharraf Husseini tuned in. Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, do you have my voice? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to our studio back in London. Sheikh, we talked a little bit about the religious threat of media last time in our program. What can you say about the cultural threat of media towards the Islamic world, or when we see this westernization or Americanization even in European countries where TV has been all Americanized, and we see it somehow here in the Middle East also. What can you say about the cultural threat of media?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, as we see in the history, after the Second World War, too many things, and especially this cinema has been used as a tool for global influence.
Yes.
And is being used. It's not just a theater or just a movie or just audiovisuals that are used as an entertainment or just for the passing on the knowledge. But they are a mean and a tool for global influence also, and they mold the way of thinking of the people.
Yes.
And the people, as you were talking previously also, that if a person is mature, should he be able? I think one more thing should be added.
Yes.
That although a person is mature, how much self-control he have got? How much he doesn't get inclined, and how much understanding of the things that are in the backdrop of the movies? There's a message which is clear to you, and there's a message which is a hidden message. What about those
That's
hidden
true.
Messages? And a lot of experiments have been done, and a lot of people, psychologists and other people there, before the movie is made, and they look on the different aspects. Not at the simple amateur sort of movies, they are a simple movie, and
How can we meet this threat? What can we do? Can we build our own Hollywoods?
The thing is that we bring in good things. We bring in good movies. We bring in the Islamic view and the viewpoint, and in Islam also the preaching should not be just confined to the pulpit or just to the lectures. It should be taken into the media and the audiovisual ways of preaching of Islam. And Islam has got that force and dynamics in it to face all these threats. And Islam is a force which can overcome all these threats. They are on no means these artificial things that we see in the movies. Mm-hmm. The Islamic realities and Islamic thoughts and Islamic thinkings, we have got a lot of things to express and tell the world and pass on to the world.
Yes.
We should do that. And if we work on that, and with the beauty of the what you can say, the movies, and with the beauty of the voices, and with the beauty of presentation, we can, I think, do a better thing than what the West is doing, or Hollywood is doing, or other cinemas they are doing. We can do better than that. And I've seen that in too many movies that has been made on is with Islamic history, on Islamic backgrounds, they have produced very wonderful results. The only thing is to emphasize on them and create them with more creativity mm-hmm. and move with the time forward.
Yes.
Modernization and the modern techniques should be used in them.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sheikh. We're going to go for a break. Dear viewers, please join us after the break.
The electronic media is increasingly taking over the way we choose to spend our time, while it umbrellas social interaction, entertainment, information, and education. To what ends are the modern forms of entertainment being used as a means to progress? And on the other hand, what percentage of time that is being consumed by these entertainment medias can we classify as wasted or as a modern drug? Some of the forms of entertainment popular amongst our youth are TV, movies, home viewing entertainment, internet, electronic games, and social networking tools. Can we say that these are leading towards well-balanced, physically and socially active individuals? Or are they causing a contraction of human values and social welfare? And what are the mental or health implications of these modes of entertainment? What are the conversations that take place as a result between two or more people who are regularly plugged into these modern tools? And are they developing a future to be proud of? Islam teaches us that time is one of our most valuable assets. We are given a purpose to live and a set time to achieve our goals. Every action or decision should be used to further our goals and help us carry us towards our destination. If we keep our eyes on the goals, we can bring in whatever tools may serve our purpose, provided that their gains outweigh their weaknesses. However, once those tools are leading us towards destruction in any areas of our lives or society, it may be advisable to analyze the effects of these forms of entertainment. Finally, if we understand the goals of the creators of games and other media forms, for example, networking media, we will be able to gauge whether to use them and how much time to allot to their usage.
Thank you for watching, dear viewers. Now, the website part and browsing the web on the website socialmediatoday.com about how social media changed the entertainment experience. This web page tells us, of course, Dr. Agha Mohammadi, social media is more than a digital water cooler for TV and movies. A Hollywood reporter recently published an exclusive poll about social media. Based on this study, 88% of respondents view social networking sites like Twitter and Facebook as a new form of entertainment. The report found that 79% of connected television viewers visit Facebook while watching TV. Additionally, 83% surf the web while watching, while viewing TV, and 41% tweet about the show they're watching. The researcher notes social media is the connective tissue that enables consumers to multitask during their entertainment experiences by connecting with others and sharing their opinions. Now, how do you evaluate this multitasking and put in media into social media?
Of course, this is one of the things that we were going to talk about it, about when we were in the part of social network
social
and social media. But this is a fact that nowadays there are some features, some characteristics in the social media that it is more attractive for people than the mere sitting at home and watching TV. Because, you know, there is a kind of dialogue in this media. You are part of the story. You have your own part there. You are the chooser. You have your own role. These are things that you do not have in the media, in the traditional televisions and movies that we had. You are just listener, you are just receiver, but there you have a dialogue. You can listen, you can participate in the dialogue, you can participate in the stories, in the things going on there. You can show off that aspect of yourself that you do not have in the real life, and it's a kind of dream for you, for the person to have it. They have lots of boundaries and borders and limits in the real life that they cannot be the person that they dream to be. But this social media is a kind of space for them. This scope is there that gives this opportunity for people to, have their role in a way that they dream and they want to be, in a very fast way, without the borders of time and space. And there are lots of other features, inshallah we will talk about it, all brings the social network and these entertainments to be somehow number one nowadays for people.
Yeah.
And this shows the importance of this
so
new
media.
Do you
agree with it?
Yeah.
That is number one now.
This is the fact. Yeah.
Among the entertainments, yes. Thank you so much. Yes.
Sheikh Al-Muhammadi, we know that the political hegemony of the West, and especially America, is overwhelming. It has taken over the whole globe. I read yesterday that China, the richest person in China, is building his own Hollywood for $8.5 billion. We haven't heard this about the Muslim countries building something like that. What we hear is that they're building the highest tower, the biggest theme park, and so on, instead of putting their investment and their budget in this kind of investment in this kind of movies or a kind of Muslim Hollywood. What can you say about the political hegemony of the media?
Unfortunately, first of all, I have to say that there are lots of shortcomings with Muslims.
Yes.
Now, you know, there are some rich Muslims that they invest in the Hollywood in the United States.
Mm.
I know what kind of movies are produced there. In fact, this is one of the ways that the hegemony is working. And for example, you know, the concept of savior. You see it in lots of American movies, that there is American savior for the world.
That's
not
true.
Only for America,
that's
for
true.
The world. In different stories, I don't know, Star Wars and other stories.
Even in their comics.
Comics, yes. In their animations, Batman, I don't know.
Nintendo, computer
Spider-Man,
games.
Spider-Man, and I don't know, Mega Mine, and lots of these animations for children, all are showing an American figure to be the savior of not
the whole
all,
globe.
Not United States, but all the world.
Yes.
And
even against aliens.
Yeah. And now, you know, when it makes people believe that long-term, you know, effect of these movies is to believe that if there is a savior, it is from the United States. So somehow they, in fact,
unconsciously it's building up in the mind.
Change the concept of, you know, even the savior.
Mm.
And now, when you talk about the savior in your religion, they say, oh, this is a fiction that we had in our stories.
Yes.
Or, you know, people come, even their own people, they come to believe that really if there is a savior, it is in the United States. And, you know, if you remember a few years ago when they attacked Iraq,
yes.
to, in fact, refresh the mind of the American soldiers there, they took and invited Arnold Schwarzenegger there. You know, that
the Californian governor, ex-governor.
All those movies that he was the star in the movies, you know, when such a person goes there. So you see, the concept of a savior is there. And if so, first of all, you have to be afraid of America because it's a powerful country. So they are your role model and they are the savior. And they have this right to interfere in any part of the world whenever they want because they are the savior of the world.
So how should we respond to it? Should we also build something that the richest person in China is building privately? Should some shuyukhs in different Arab Gulf countries do the same? Or
unfortunately,
Iran, for example, is the only Muslim country that I know who's producing movies of the prophets of the Quran over and over again. And we don't see that in other Muslim countries.
And you know, there are lots of blames and reprimands coming from Muslim countries that why you are making films and movies about the prophets. This is insult to the prophets. You see, this way of thinking, this narrow-mindedness, this is the problem.
Maybe they mean, Sheikh, that because they're showing the faces of the prophets, that may be insulting.
So they have filmed their second Khalifa. They respect him a lot, maybe more than the prophets, they respect him, but they showed him in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, the famous movie that was made in one of these Arabian countries.
All right.
Do you see nowadays, even when you show the face of that prophet, if you watch the movie, it is all respecting the prophet. It is all, in fact, showing the great position of that prophet. So it's a kind of respect to the prophet. It's the kind of giving a real role model. And the problem is that unfortunately lots of our Muslim brothers, even they don't feel the threats, you know. They don't feel this threat coming through media to their youth, and they are not interested in doing so.
All right. So maybe we should build a kind of Muslim wood in Muslim countries, which Iran is making a little bit of it.
Of course, there have been some struggles.
But maybe
here,
a little bit inshallah. More cooperation with Muslim countries.
It will be great if such a thing takes place, right. Inshallah, we hope.
Inshallah, ta'ala. Now, do you remember, dear viewers, about how we used to communicate and how we used to read things or read the news 10 or 20 years ago? I want to go back to the question that Ms. Sadri asked about you to you, Sheikh Abu Muhammadi, about Facebook and Twitter as a kind of a communication means which changes the whole, can change entire nations. We see, for example, the Islamic awakening in the Arab countries, that Twitter and Facebook was a means to communicate and give this passion to people to go into the streets. If I ask you, Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, millions of people have never met a Muslim, but this opportunity, this access has given them this social media, which we talked about, Facebook and Twitter, has given them the means to be active and have an active role. What can you say about the positive aspects of social media for the spread of Islam?
Yes, of course, the social media, they have brought the people closer to each other. And people of different culture, different creed, different areas, different geographical entities, I think the borders, and they have not been able to separate them anymore. And the ideas are being shared with others, and their cultures are shared, their viewpoints are shared. So obviously, these sharing of their views and their ideas, it is taking the people's mental level up and their level of understanding each other, and they're creating a sort of harmony among the human being and the human race. That's a very positive aspect, firstly. Secondly, the flow of knowledge from different areas to other areas, like from the developed countries to the less developed countries, yes. And underdeveloped countries. These social media is playing a role, a very positive role. But the thing is that how do you use these tools? These are very positive things in origin. You can use them for the positive side and you can use it for the negative side. Like a gun, you can use it to defend yourself and you can use it to offend other and to, as an offensive tool.
Yes.
Similarly, like the TV, you can use it as a positive and a negative thing. This is social media is in the same way. people? Do we have a structure to train the people and guide the people how they shall be used, and what are the positive and negative effects? Yesterday, for example, say from a country, I was listening to the news that a Facebook was used to abduct people and ask money for their release. So these are the tools, and they are very positive things, and positive things can happen. But the negative consequences, people should be taught, and awareness should be there, brought into them, so that if they are aware of the negative consequences, I don't think that there is the negative things, they will overcome them. But we should be very careful, and they should be slow process to guide the people and to get into it.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Now let's see what Ms. Sodri has for us.
Thank you, brother. Dear viewers, here is a video clip from YouTube about the most annoying people on the internet, picturing some, let's say, absurd and worthless activities done in social media and social networking. Watch it, please, and back in no time, please.
I've been using the internet a lot more than I used to.
I mean, I use the internet all day,
whether if it's YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, of course, late at night when I'm in bed, and you know, well, I am a guy, so of course I'm gonna watch some Naruto.
Naruto!
I mean, I'm on the internet all the time, and I discovered that there's so many annoying people online. Well, I mean, there's a lot of annoying people in this world, but I mean, the internet finally allows us to see all of them. I'll admit, I have a lot of annoying internet traits as well. For example, I can sometimes be one of those annoying people that uses acronyms way too much, like LOL or LMAO.
LMFAO?
Every day.
It may not seem weird when I'm texting or typing it, but when you really think about it, it would sound really stupid in real life. There actually should be an acronym for the most annoying people on the internet, like MAPODI. What? At least then we'll have something to write to these people when they're being annoying online. And here's some of the other annoying people I discovered on the internet. Take a look. Also known as a troll, the hater is the most common annoying person online. These people are so upset and bored with their lives that they try to make other people feel the same way about theirs. They always find a way to take something positive and make it negative somehow. The overly deep person. If you don't know someone like this personally, you've probably seen at least one of these pictures that they made. These people will take a picture of some beautiful scenery and come up with a quote for it that's just absolutely brilliant and beautiful.
If you always say no, you'll never say yes.
The hashtagger. Usually found on Instagram, the hashtagger will take a picture of something and just put way too many hashtags on it. It's like they treat it like some kind of game to come up with as many hashtags as you can relating to the picture. Food photographer. Look, I understand if you made the meal and you're proud of it, or even if you ordered something that looks absolutely amazing, but you don't have to post a picture of every single meal you're gonna eat.
Hot pockets make me happy.
The unrelated captions girl. These are the kind of girls that will take pictures of stuff, but the caption that they write to describe the picture has nothing to do with it. It kind of looks like this.
Patience is a virtue.
MySpace. And last but not least, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, or even YouTube, there's always that one irritating guy who's always complaining about others.
Thank you, dear viewers. Following the clip, one idea in this video tells us the overwhelming sources of media and social media for entertainment, as well as their effects on our young people, force us to make trade-off decisions every day. Every activity influences behavior, and behavior accounts for everything. Now, Sheikh Musharraf, please, do you think we all understand the value each source brings us to be able to make the best choice to avoid such absurd activities? Dr. Musharraf.
Yes, can you please repeat the question? Yes, I could hear it very well.
Do you think we all understand the value each source of media and social media and entertainment brings us to be able to make the best choice of them to avoid such activities, of course, done especially on the internet?
Yes, of course, there's it depends on different age groups who are watching and who are getting involved, and their guidance and their level of understanding and their level of self-control also, how much self-control they've got. So these media, if they get involved in a different age, there is no grouping. Like in the movies, in cinemas, there is a grouping that certain movies, they are made for the children of different age groups, for adults and for other, in other, but in the social media, you don't have anything. And the level of learning, the teaching, it has become a tool to learn. But even then, there we see, like in the past, or like in the schools, in the colleges, in the universities, we see the teachers, the conduct of the teacher, the behavior of the teacher also teaches the student. Here, it's just a computer and you who are learning from the computer, just a static thing, and you learn at your own pace, at your own time. You don't learn the values, you don't learn ethics, you don't learn other good things in your life. You don't learn about sacrifice and all those things. You just learn what you want to learn and what you don't want to learn. So that has got isolated the human being from that human values. In the West, we have seen there was a study, and they saw that the students who are more used to the, or got addicted to the media or internet and all these things, now they are just isolated. They want to remain lonely. They don't want to mix up with the people. They don't. They are just living lonely, and they're calling them the Wi-Fi kids or Wi-Fi generation. Wi-Fi right. generation. You find those kids. There are too many now in the families who are not interested in what's going around them in the family or in the human culture or in the human society. They are not linked with that. They are just busy with their might be with the video games, might be on the text, might be on the different websites. So these negative aspects, we need to look after that, because we can't lose a generation. We can't take a risk of losing a generation just because of this. Yeah, positive aspects, they have got positive aspects, but I think, in my opinion, it should be a controlled access for the children, for the students, to gain what is good in it, but protect them from the bad things, and not making them addicted to the internet to an extent that they lose their own control.
Thank you, Sheikh Musharraf. Viewers, the subject is still under discussion now. My colleague and the rest.
Thank you, Ms. Sadiqi. Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, after all of these things that we have talked about, what opportunities do you see with media?
Of course, there are lots of positive aspects, especially the modern media, that the social networks and the internet that we have. You know, always the place, space, and time. There were obstacles for people to do lots of things. And nowadays we can say that this obstacle has been removed somehow. And you know, social identity of a person is based on the social interchanges that the person has in the society. Mm-hmm. Now people are able to be active and to be interchanged, to be in communication with people all around the world.
Yes.
Of course, there might be some threats there. We will talk about it later.
Sure.
But at the same time, it is a very positive aspect of it. You know, when we look at Quran from Quranic perspective, the culture and Islamic society that Quran depicts for us has no border. Mm. Interesting, no geographical border, no border of time. You know,
the whole globe is God's.
Not only the geographical borders, I mean, even the time, you know.
Yes.
We see that, for example, about the people, Jews of the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Quran is about to blame them, says, why did you kill the prophets? You know, those Jews who killed the prophets maybe lived 2,000 years ago before the time of the Prophet.
Yes.
But Quran says, you killed the prophets because you are pleased with what they did. Your fathers did so. You are like them. You are one of them. So society from Quranic perspective has no geographical border, no border of time. It's so extensive. So you see, this net and this media is giving us that chance to make a Muslim society all around the world. You know, you remember the famous hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, anyone who stands up in the morning and he's not caring about other Muslims, he's not a Muslim, he's not a real Muslim. So if you do not know about Muslims in other places, how can you care about them? So this...
Especially with this technology that we have today.
This is one of the advantages.
All kinds of information will reach you.
This is one of the advantages that you can be in contact with all brothers wherever they are. You can make a big
social network,
social and universal Muslim network all around the world. And you can teach them. Nowadays, I myself personally, I have many classes on internet, and in the class, people participate from the United States, from the United Kingdom, from different places. They come, sit in the room like students beside each other. They talk and they participate.
We talk about the educational aspect, inshallah.
This is a very great, in fact, outcome of this. And also, you see, the media, I mean, television and the satellite channels, you know, they are in the hand of some politicians. You like it or not, you don't have any role there. You just have
or
to
some
sit.
Lobbies,
yeah,
maybe.
People some just sit and watch, and they can't do anything. But in media, in social networks, they're active. They can write their own ideas. They can share their ideas. So there is a chance for the truth to be scattered there easily, more easily. And these are, or some philanthropic movements in different places. We saw that in the recent history, especially, for example, in the earthquake that we had, recent earthquake in Tabriz in Iran, that, even maybe more sooner than any other and earlier than any other governmental or organizations to start helping people, you know, through this network, people, they themselves, they came to share their ideas, how to help people there, how to, try to somehow release them, those people, earthquake-stricken people from their difficulties. So these philanthropic actions that we have seen it in other places as well, these are the advantages of being...
What about the threats, Sheikh? What can you say about the threats?
And also threats, there are lots of threats, unfortunately, first of all, because they are...
We mentioned some of them in the program.
These are being governed by those who are not caring about religion or about morality. When they don't, they have the power there. Yeah. So the threat is coming from different aspects. If you look at the divorce cases, I read
skyrocket.
I read somewhere that lots of divorce cases in Britain, they were somehow connected to the social
TV
network.
Networks. I see.
When they get involved and they are in connection with different
illegal relationships.
Illegal
and so on.
With different sexes there, and and the people there are not ashamed to speak about their own ideas.
Right.
Usually in the real life, when they want to express their ideas, first of all, they observe that whether they are minority or majority. If they are minority, then they may not say whatever they want to say. But they say even though it could be a positive aspect, at the same time, lots of threats there. People, they may be so rude, and they may show some aspect of themselves that they never show it in the real life. You see, the women are subject to threat. Children are subject to threat. The aesthetics are there, and you can read them.
Yes. We'll talk about it, inshallah, a little bit more later in the program. I think, Ms. Sadiq, you have something prepared for us?
Of course. We have one of our viewers joining us through Skype. Salam and welcome, brother, to your program. Would you please let us know your name?
Wa alaikum salam. My name is Hassan Abbas, and I'm from South Africa.
Thank you for joining. Brother, my question is, living in a media-saturated culture, how do you think this generation of media will break the chains of smartphones and computers and return to classic social interaction?
Society has been evolving from the beginning of times, and it will continue to evolve as it progresses further. In the times when people used to eat bread and butter, and where the contentment was the key, they had very strong communication links between each other, yet very basic and very primitive, unlike today. Today's generation is a little bit different. Today's society would expect you to have the most updated medium of communication to interact with the other group of people. Yes, the real feel between the two persons when they communicate with, let's say, a smartphone is very different to the classical social interaction, which is probably face-to-face. Emails, chats, let's say, other informal communication do not convey the emotions when you are communicating, but definitely does transfer bulk information with incredible speed. Technology will help you to spread a good idea, but the classical information and the classical interaction, I beg your pardon, would help you to implement it. Technology is a fast-paced medium, but people of feelings does use, for example, letter and postcards to interact with their loved ones. You see, the feeling of the paper in its own self and the stroke of ink, as long as that essential characteristics is valued, the concept of social classical interactions will never be eradicated from the living structure of the society. Well, having all that said, smartphones, personal computers, and gadgets are for the betterment and the advancement of the society, but the social interaction is equally important. I think technology should be used to the extent where it is not remarked as artificial, and social and classical interactions, which is face-to-face, to the extent of bliss. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Abbas from South Africa. Viewers, I would like to read some other answers and different ideas to this question. One is, before 2005 and Facebook, social interaction was different. Dating was personal and there were few websites and social media outlets, but now it is so excessive that it is starting to degrade in-person social IQ of many of us. Interesting, of course. The other one says, as a young man of 23, I believe when we talk to someone on Facebook or in a text, we say good morning, for example, with a smiling smiley, it is not a matter of our social IQ being degraded. It is a matter of the definition of social IQ needing to be redefined. Another is, yes, social media has come to stay. Sorry, but it usually just gives a one-sided point of view, like an advertisement. It takes much more than social media to know the real person. And the one more answer is, I don't think interacting via media means you can't interact in person. I think conversing, for example, on Facebook and Twitter also gives you something to talk about the people around you. Thank you. It was just for your kind notice, and now you decide, up to you. The rest of our discussion, my colleague.
Thank you, Ms. Adri. I want to address this question to you, Sheikh Musharraf Husseini. In the past, seeking knowledge was mainly restricted to the masajids and the different educational institutions. Or you could go and find an imam or a sheikh and learn from him. These traditional learning institutions are impact, but however, we see that with the social network and with the media that we have today, you could learn, teach, and question, or, for example, listen to any lecture whenever you want, in any language you want, at any given time. What can you say about the media as an educational institution or as a visual university?
Yeah, it's media has become a very important tool in educating people and learning. The learning process and the teaching process and the passing on of knowledge have increased a lot, and it has been given a very boost after the becoming common of this use of internet and the social media. So it has been used, and it has to become a part, and it can be utilized in a better form. But the thing is that in our Islamic countries especially, yes, and in Islamic perspective, we have not been able yet to create something for forward thinking or for getting more planning or doing some advanced planning for our futures as it has been done in the West. In the West, they have planned before they bring in the social media, brought in the social media. They, before that, they knew what are going to be the consequences, what has been, what are going to be the effects of bringing that into the general public. But in our countries, especially in the underdeveloped countries or in the Islamic countries, there's no such system to look after that, which should have been. So we saw that in the beginning, it was used as a tool to of cultural onslaught on the other countries, but yes, as a tool of education, no doubt here in the universities, in the colleges, it has played a very positive role. And different ideas, and like you said, that the you can learn on your own time, with your, on your own pace, and when it is convenient for you. But on the other hand, the same thing has also made us lazy, you know. We have become lazy for that. I would like to mention, like for example, say when the mobile phones were not there, people used to remember the telephone numbers. Now people don't remember their own home numbers. They've just fed in their home and they just ring it. Similarly, the navigation, when it came out, people used to know the roads, and they got lazy and they don't remember the name of the roads now. And even this thing also, the education, it is available to you, but people will not take too much. Oh, I can have those information from internet anytime. So the learning, so that's the negative thing that can happen. But on the positive side, the availability of the information, the availability of knowledge, the lectures you can listen to, and otherwise also it has been used, it's a very, very positive thing. It depends how we use it and how we utilize it, yes, and how we gain from this thing, which has got a potential of going to the providing something positive and providing something negative also.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Musharraf Husseini from London. I would also say thanks and my gratitude to you, Sheikh Aghamad, for coming over to the studio.
Thank you.
And Ms. Sadri, thank you for the technical help.
Thank you very much. Thank you, our experts, and from London, of course. And dear viewers, thank you for joining. Tune in later. Allah bless you.
And I would like to once again say to those of you who are going to Hajj in the last month of the Islamic calendar, please don't forget to pray for all of us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.